We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here we go, the third, the final, the best, the money hour of the Rob Brown Show goes now. This is the Fan Upstate. Hello, Upstate South Carolina. Hello, America. Hello, world. Great to be back with you again. I am Rob Brown, flying solo with you for the final hour of the show. Lonzo had to run over to the other studio and get some work done for the big-time sister station, the station of the year across South Carolina. So your boy's rolling solo, and I'm happy to do it because you guys are the best. That being said, I expect you to be a part of this hour of the show. I expect you on the phone lines at 844-FANFONE, 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. I expect you on the text line at 71307. Start your text with FAN. The Preferred Home Services text line is open. Text number is 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, and bring your heat, man. Bring the best you got. I also expect you to tweet me at The Rob Brown Show, at The Rob Brown Show, at Lonzo on Word if you want to shoot him a text. Well, I guess a tweet, not a text. And of course, you can also get everybody on the station at thefanupstate.com. Let me do this. I played the first half of that Jimbo Fisher audio for you yesterday, and we examined it. But I want to get into the back half of it, because the back half is where I think it's interesting. Look, what Nick Saban said is that Texas A&M bought the number one recruiting class. And Jimbo Fisher took great umbrage with that. Problem is, Nick Saban wasn't wrong. Jimbo Fisher just responded to what Nick Saban thought he did. You ever been, some of y'all have been, some of y'all are, you ever been in a relationship or worked for a boss who did not hear what you said but heard what they wanted you to have said, or in some cases, the opposite of what they wanted you to have said, right? They didn't hear what you said. They heard what they wanted to hear. I have been, and it can make for a stressful relationship, whether it is personal, romantic, business, it doesn't matter. If someone hears something they wanted to hear as opposed to hearing what you said, it can be a problem, and I think Jimbo Fisher did that. I think Jimbo Fisher came out and heard what Jimbo Fisher wanted to hear instead of what Nick Saban said. Nick said Texas A&M bought their recruits, right? Texas A&M bought their recruits. In fact, if I can find the sound from yesterday, I will go so far as to go back and play you what was said. They got it saved somewhere. Yeah, let me go ahead and play you what it is that Nick Saban said, because I want you to hear something. Now, here's the comments that got Jimbo Fisher all up in a tussle. Here's what Nick Saban initially said.
You've read about them. You know who they are. I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right, we didn't buy one player. All right, but I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it.
Okay. So that's what Saban said. He said, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first, and they bought every player, had an NIL deal for every player. Now, Coach Saban, I think that Coach Saban here said something that was really interesting. But what he did not say, Jimbo Fisher, was that you cheated. What he did not say is that you broke any rules. But that's the way Jimbo took it, right? Like, to open his presser yesterday, Jimbo repeatedly said, oh, you know, I don't understand why it is that, you know, these old guys, these narcissists, these guys that think they're college football gods, feel the need to go after 17-year-old kids and their families. I don't know why they feel the need to go after us, right? They're smearing our name. They're telling lies. First off, I would have loved to have been a reporter in that room, right? Would have loved to been a reporter in that room, and I would have loved to have been a reporter in that room because there's a couple of questions that I would ask Jimbo Fisher, and it would get me kicked out. And it would get my credentials yanked, but I would ask them anyway. Number one, Jimbo, does every player in this recruiting class have an NIL deal? Yes or no? I don't need a big, long explanation. Does every player in the number one recruiting class that Texas A&M has brought in, do they all have an NIL deal? If the answer is yes, they all have an NIL deal, then not only was Nick Saban not wrong, he was right. Yeah, he was right. Number two, if that is the case and that every player has an NIL deal, exactly what did Nick Saban say that has got you this heated, right? What did Nick Saban say that has got you this mad? Because he did not accuse you of cheating. He did not accuse you of doing anything wrong. All he said was that Texas A&M bought every player. Now, if I may go after Nick Saban, it's a crappy way of using the language, right? I've talked to you guys before. There's a fallacy I hate called poisoning the well, right? And when one poisons the well, what one is doing is it is trying to use language in a specific way to place an opponent's position in a debate into the negative before you even get there, right? It is trying to use language in a certain way to make one position look like the default negative position before you even open the debate about it. And I do feel like, to some degree, Nick Saban poisoned the well a little bit with his take of they bought every player. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. They didn't buy anything. There is a legal way for NIL to be offered to student athletes, or at least the presence of it to be offered to student athletes, so that they can accept it and show up on campus and make some money. And from what Jimbo's saying, that's what A&M did, but that's all he needed to say. Second part of this is where Jimbo did lose me a little bit. The repeated use of 17-year-old kids, 17-year-old kids, 17-year-old, 17-year-old kids. Jimbo's kind of doing the same thing in that he is trying to make it sound as if Nick Saban was attacking the kids, and he wasn't. He wasn't attacking the kids. He was attacking the school. He was attacking Jimbo, the coaching staff, the recruiters, the NIL organizations, etc. That's who Jimbo was attacking. I mean, sorry, Nick Saban was attacking. It wasn't you. It wasn't the kids. It was you. It wasn't the kids' families. It was the school. So they're both wrong in that aspect, right? They're both wrong in that aspect. Then Jimbo decided to do what made it really interesting, right? Then Jimbo decided that he was going to start getting into Nick Saban is not a guy who should be out here throwing stones, what with his house being made of glass. Jimbo Fisher started saying, you know, you go coach for guys like Bobby Bowden to learn what to do. You go coach for other guys to learn what not to do. And Jimbo said at one point, he said, I'm not a liar. I don't lie. If I lied when I was a kid, my mama would have slapped me in the side of the head. Quote, maybe somebody should slap him in the side of the head, end quote. Clearly talking about Nick Saban. So he takes his shot at Saban and says somebody ought to slap Saban in the back of the head. The minute after saying that, had he been a liar, he'd have got slapped in the head, obviously insinuating that Nick Saban's a liar. Again, I don't think Nick Saban lied. I think Jimbo Fisher took very personally a comment that Nick Saban made that should not have been taken personally. I think that's really it. I wish a single media person in that room, though, would have said, Jimbo, do you care to cite an example? You are claiming that you learned what not to do from Nick Saban, insinuating that Nick Saban has done something wrong or illegal or against the rules. Do you care to insinuate that? To that insinuation. Do you care to respond to that? Not a single person in there did. And I get it. The overwhelming majority of people in that room yesterday with Jimbo Fisher were guys and gals who cover Texas A&M for a variety of Texas A&M media outlets, right? That's their coach. That's their guy. More importantly, the press credential around their neck allowing them into that press conference, that's their paycheck, man. That's their meal ticket. They can't go in there and go, Jimbo, you're calling out Nick Saban. We'd like to call you out to put something on the table to run with. All Jimbo said was, if you are a reporter, if you're a journalist, go dig into God's background talking about Nick Saban and dig it up. Find out what you can find out. You'll find a lot. But then he offered nothing else. He offered nothing else at all. Anyway, that's why I'm Team Saban on this. I mentioned back in the first hour, I was in the Florida Panhandle covering college football when Nick Saban left Florida State. I will say again, Jimbo Fisher left Florida State. When Jimbo Fisher left Florida State, the way he did it was, frankly, not the way to do it, right? Not the way to do it. He didn't get what he wanted out of the administration and out of the president of Florida State, so he just stopped. He quit recruiting. He quit working. The minute that he was able to get out of Tallahassee, the minute he was able to start getting that paper from Texas A&M, he did. Now, had he finished the right way in Tallahassee? Maybe I look at this a little differently, but I don't, right? I've always been about integrity, right? Well, you left Tallahassee in shambles. Is that true? Now, the back half of that press conference, when Jimbo Fisher started saying he knows that Nick Saban was cheating and we're done and screw that guy, and that's a paraphrase, but all of that stuff. That's where he lost me. That's where I had to bail. And I had to bail at that point because either put something on the table or don't. But it got to the point that Jimbo sounded petulant. It got to the point that Jimbo sounded, I don't even know what other word I'd use there, but petulant, right? It sounded like he was making up accusations that Nick Saban did not say. And, you know, it, look, this is the equivalent of, you know, I'm a metaphor guy. When you break up with an ex, and on the way out the door, they're like, oh, and by the way, and then they drop something on you that makes you uncomfortable, right? Oh, by the way, I faked it the whole time. Like, whatever, you shouldn't care. You're done. You're over. You're out. Later, bye, Felicia. But if somebody says that to you, it might, it sticks in the brain to the point that like years from now, you're like, no. That's what Jimbo sounded like, right? Sounded like Nick Saban hit a chord and he decided to take it and turn it into something that it was not. It sounded like he decided to take it and turn it into something that Nick Saban did not say and run with that. And I think it's a bad look for Jimbo Fisher. I think it's a bad look for Jimbo. I think that press conference was a bad look. Don't get me wrong. I think it was absolutely hysterical, and it provided me with hours of content, probably more content about it than you guys would have wanted out of a lame story. But it is what it is. Jimbo took it to me more than Nick meant it as. Jimbo ran with it for days. And here we are. All right, I'm done with it, by the way. I think I've hit my breaking point. It was wild. It was the funniest thing that's happened in college football in a long time. And now that I've analyzed the hell out of it, I'm over it. So let's take a break. We come back. Mavs Golden State, we can get back into that. Greenville Liberty playing at home tonight, the debut game for that. Texter says, fan, that was my point yesterday. Jimbo said he didn't break any laws or rules, but never denied he bought his team. Yeah, good call. You are genuinely correct. He never said we didn't do that. He just said we didn't break any rules, which, by the way, Nick Saban never said you broke any rules. Texter says, a stuck pig squeals. Yeah. What did I say yesterday? When you say a bunch of things about how you're not, and you're not, and you're not, and you're not, and you're not this, and you're not that, it makes me think, you are. You are. Texter says, Jimbo went straight Will Smith on it. Keep my school's name out your blanking mouth. Yes, he did. Stupid, but yes, he did. And finally, let's be honest. Every one of those big colleges, their hands are dirty and have been for years, except Clemson. We don't play that. LOL. Hashtag dat boy. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. It's Friday, my dudes and dudettes, of course. Have I even mentioned that it's Friday yet? We haven't really brought up that it's Friday. We've been a little busy. Thanks to Saban and Jimbo Fisher for wrecking my show yesterday and basically screwing up the rest of my week, but it's all good. It's all good. All right. A couple more things I wanted to say before we get out of here. Last night, Miami gets smoked by Beantown. Look, it's the good news for Miami is that when I look at those two teams, I certainly do not see the disparity between them like I do with Dallas and Golden State, right? When I look at Dallas and Golden State, the separation between those two teams is like clear and obvious, yeah? Like clear and obvious. When I look at Miami and Boston, I don't see that same clear and obvious separation. I think Boston is better. I think Boston's got a better roster. I think Boston has better everything except maybe coaching. Lonzo and I both agree that Eric Spoelstra does not get the credit that he deserves for the coach that he is, right? He's a damn fine basketball coach. And I know a lot of people like to go, wait a minute, you know, he's, hey man, anybody's going to be, I would have the capability of winning a championship if you made me an NBA coach tomorrow, but you would have given me LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh. There's a better than zero chance I would have walked out of the NBA with at least a championship ring, but Spo got a few. And Spo has put together some really interesting team runs around the fact that, hey, I had LeBron, now I don't. I put this team together, though. So maybe, I'm going to go maybe, they are going to say that the Boston Celtics have not quite the coach that they do in Miami. But overall, right, let's go check the odds on this. It's a 1-1 series. I'm going to bet without even pulling them up that the NBA futures, the NBA playoff series futures, let's see here. Yeah, the Celtics are minus 250 to win that. The Celtics are minus 250. And in case you are curious, Golden State being up 1-0. The Warriors are minus 450 to win the series, man. Minus 450 to win the series. Boston's minus 250. The Miami Heat are plus 195 to come back and win. By the way, Dallas a much longer shot, plus 350 to win that series. These two, it is almost comic. Almost comedic. That's the correct word. Man, I'm bad at words. It is almost comedic to me that the first and second round of the NBA playoffs were so good. And it appears to me that the NBA's final round before the finals, their conference championship rounds, seem to be so damn mismatched, man. Like, we came into the conference finals, and I was thinking to myself, you know, honestly, I don't see a clear-cut favorite, right, in the East or the West. I thought Golden State was probably the favorite out of the West coming in. But it didn't look like they were far and away. Now, keep in mind, Steph was banged up. Klay had some work to do to get himself 100%. But they didn't look like clear-cut favorites. And now, all of a sudden, going up against Dallas, they definitely do. And Vegas agrees, minus 450 for Golden State to win that series. They're just better, right? There's no deep analysis here. I mean, we can sit here and we can talk about individual players. We can talk about individual matchups. But the reality is, just look at the rosters. And this isn't always true in the NBA. I'm not saying Dallas can't win a game. But look at the roster of Dallas and look at the roster of the Golden State Warriors. And tell me that the Warriors aren't just a better basketball team. Look at the roster of the Miami Heat. Look at the roster of the Boston Celtics. And tell me that the Boston Celtics aren't just a better basketball team. They absolutely are. They absolutely are. They're just a better basketball team. And I suspect that's going to be the case that shows up in the final record of both of these series. I got hit on the text line earlier today that said, Rob, it's 1-1 in the Miami-Boston series. How are you going to say that Boston's clearly the favorite? Well, A, Vegas odds, but B, we have played 8 quarters of basketball. 8 quarters of basketball. Boston has won 7 of them. And by the way, 7 of them that were all pretty decent. The only blowout quarter was the one that Miami won, outscoring Boston 39-14. If Boston plays just a little bit better, just a little bit better in that one quarter, Boston's up 2-0, just like Golden State is going to be tonight. It is not a matter of if, it is a matter of watch and see. Watch and see. I guarantee it. They're just better. All right, let me give some love real quick before we get out of here. Before we get out of here and do Twitter to wrap up the show. Can we go back to Wednesday night? Rangers Hurricanes in Lord's Stanley Cup. Lord Stanley's Cup? Yeah, that's it. I got this. Lord Stanley's Cup. How about the Carolina Hurricanes netting an OT winner on the way out the door when defenseman Ian Cole decided to go all about that boom, Ian Cole, baby. That's a defender, by the way. Defensor, Robert, you dummy. He is a defender and decided, by the way, speaking of being dominated and finding a way to eke it out at the very end, ladies and gentlemen, throughout that game, from start to finish, the New York Rangers were better than the Carolina Hurricanes. Straight up, they were just better. There was one thing that kept them in that game, and it was goalkeeper play from Raanta, who was great. The fact that he only gave up one goal, right? The fact that he only gave up one goal was nothing shy of amazing, considering how absolutely relentless the Rangers are when they had possession of the puck. And Raanta saved 27 out of 28. Pretty spectacular, to be honest. So the Carolina Hurricanes found themselves getting beat in just about every aspect of the game by the New York Rangers, but put the ice water into the veins in OT. I mean, late into the game and OT. Sebastian Aho, with like 9 minutes left to play, found pipe, right? He's got a one-on-one against the Rangers goaltender. It's a breakaway. There are no Rangers defenders anywhere near Sebastian Aho. And what does he do? Clang off the top post for a miss. And again, on a shot that abso-freaking-lutely should have tied that game up. Absolutely should have tied that game up. But instead, he gets all iron. The Hurricanes find themselves still down a goal and now deeper into the clock. So what does Aho do? Late in the game? Get discouraged? End up wasting shifts behind it? Nope. Aho regroups, resets, gets another breakaway, and this time goes ahead and buries one inside of the net. 1-1. Go to overtime. Ian Cole, baby. By the way, Aho's goal came with about 2 minutes and 13 seconds left. Actually, about 2 minutes and 23 seconds left to play. I mean, dude, what do you want? Clutch, right? Clutch gene from the Canes. So the Canes get round two. Round two. Game number one set up tonight against the Rangers. This one also going to be in Raleigh. Game two kicks off tonight at 8 o'clock. Rangers-Canes. Watch it. Watch it. By the way, Oilers-Flames, if you did not watch that opener back on Wednesday, the Flames won 9-6. Not a football score, ladies and gentlemen. 15 goals in that one. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say that tonight's matchup between Edmonton and Calgary at 10:30 is absolutely going to be on the big screen at the Casa de Love 2. Can't wait. If you're not watching the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, I don't know what to tell you, man. You're missing out. That is why I am talking about it as much as I am talking about it. Because it is great fun, man. It is a blast. That first game between New York and Carolina was gut-wrenching. I was on Twitter that night, and I had all kinds of people hit me up on Twitter when I was talking about it. I had a couple of people who were like, yo, I'm not a hockey fan, man, but I'm watching because I was following your tweets, and I got into it. I got interested. Try it. Trust me. Try it. Trust me. All right. Let me run out to the final break of the show. When we come back here in just a minute, got a few more things to talk about on the way out the door. Twitter trending topics to call it. My name is Rob Brown. You're listening to The Rob Brown Show. You're listening to The Fan Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Texter on the Preferred Home Services text line at 71307 says, Rob, I am really concerned about you calling play-by-play for the Liberty tonight. As of now, doing words is not working for you today. Yeah, I am. You know, I tell you guys all the time that I am good at this job. I love this job, which is why I'm good at this job. I've been doing this job 15 years. I feel like I've got it down. But sometimes your brain betrays you a little bit. It happens to the best of us. It really does. And let me tell you the other part of it. You can overthink things, right? We talk about this with athletes all the time. Sometimes you just overthink it, right? Sometimes you just got to go out there and do what you do, young man. Just do what you do. Don't think about it. Just do it. Muscle memory, right? It's like shooting a free throw. I have told every basketball player I have ever coached, do not overthink your free throws. When you get on the line, when you are on the stripe, when it is time to knock down a free throw, your brain should be zen. There should be nothing to it. You should not be thinking. You should not be reacting. If you miss free throw number one, it should not have a lick of impact on free throw number two. It is muscle memory. Shoot your shot. Don't think about it. Shoot your shot. Right? But as nice as that might be as a concept, it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes you've got other things that pop into the old noggin that impact your performance. And that's what happened today. All right? That's what happened today. Lonzo had to run to the other side of the building. He leaves me to run the board, which is 100% fine. You know, I believe in being a five-tool player. I believe that the best thing you can do for yourself is not just learn how to do your job, but learn how to do all the jobs around you so that when you find yourself in a spot, you can swoop in and save the day, right? If I didn't know how to run a board and produce my own show and Lonzo had to go do something for ORD, we'd have been in a world of trouble. So I learned how to run a board. Taught myself how to run a board. Got here. First thing I said when I got here was, teach me how to run the board. Teach me how to produce my own show in case I end up in that spot. Here we are. No problems with it at all. And on top of that, it frees up Lonzo to be able to go over there and make sure ORD, our big-time sister station, can run itself. It's all well and good. But, you know, hosting is shooting a free throw, man. It's muscle memory. The night before, I sit on the couch for an hour and a half, 2 hours. I put the show together. I come in between 7 and 7:30 the next day. I got an hour and a half to 2 hours to take all the thoughts I had the night before, shape them up, organize them, get them down on the rundown, and get ready to go. I don't have to think about it. I know the process. I know the routine. I'm shooting the free throws. I've done it a billion times and will a billion more. There's no thought that goes into it. You just show up and do, right? Well, when I have to do both, it's not as much as I'd like to say, oh, it's just, it's all second nature. The reality is, it's not. There's other stuff to worry about, other stuff to think about. So I got caught up in making sure the board was going good and that I was giving you the segments I wanted to give. Thanks to, again, Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban for ruining yesterday. The other aspect is I had to take 2 days worth of NBA takes and 2 days worth of NHL takes. See, that's what I'm telling you. I had to take 2 days worth of takes from the NBA and the NHL, and I had to smush them both down into one take. So I had to have Wednesday and Thursday night's NBA thoughts, and then Wednesday and Thursday night's NHL thoughts, and had to squeeze them all down into a segment of pop. So I got a little caught up in that while also making sure that all my buttons, switches, levers, knobs, gears, pulleys, wheels, and other simple machinery on this side of the glass was all up to snuff. And I hope I did a good enough job. So I do apologize to those of you that have been hanging out with me that the show was not as smooth as it normally is. Part of that is because Lonzo's not here. And Lonzo is the wizard of ways. He is the professor of perfection. He is the reason this show traditionally sounds as good as it does. The other part of it is, as mentioned a minute ago, I'm doing like three jobs at once. I am screening. I am producing. I am also hosting. So I got a little muddled. So this part, I will shed the bad guy wrestler, I'm good at this job facade that I put up. And I will break kayfabe for you for just a minute. For those of you that have stuck with me, for those of you that kept listening, for those of you that show up every day, whether I'm having a great day and am en fuego, or having a day like today where my brain and mouth hole don't coordinate with each other, for those of you that are with me regularly, I sincerely appreciate you. You are the reason I get to keep doing this. Thank you. For those of you that have stuck with me through the last 2 days doing this by myself on this side, I appreciate you. For those of you that interact with me on social media constantly, I appreciate you. You are all appreciated because without you, there's no Rob Brown. There's no Rob Brown Show. And even when the Rob Brown Show sucks, which is rare, very, very rare, but even when it sucks, when you stick with me, it makes it worth it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And now, let's do this. Twitter trending topics. We take a look at what's trending on Twitter, and obviously I have not had a chance to look at Twitter today because it's been a little bit busy. Let's see what's trending on Twitter as of right now. Trending on Twitter, hashtag National Rescue Dog Day. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm gonna say this and I'm gonna beg you. Please don't buy your dogs. Please adopt them. All right. Shelters are full. They always are full. Please adopt. And I will also tell you this. Every dog that I have ever had has been an adoptee. The puppy I have right now, little Remy dog, Remy LeBeau. She is an adoptee. My last dog that I had before I moved up here that I lost in Jacksonville, Iko, was an adoptee. My dog before that, Dakota, an adoptee. She lives down with my mom. Great dog. Fred Dog before her. Adopt Don't Shop. I'm begging you. There are thousands of animals that get put down every single year because they just cannot find a home for them. Do that. Nobody gives a damn about your status symbol, purebred, triple Maltese, Shih Tzu, Boxer, whatever. Nobody cares. You can walk around with that dog and its papers all day. Nobody cares. All right? Adopt, don't shop. That's all I got to say. That is one of like three things I preach about, man. Don't drink and drive and adopt your dogs. That's it. All right, what else is trending? Let's see. Hashtag Friday Vibes is trending. Yes, indeed. TGIF, my friends. And again, if you are not doing anything tonight and you want to come hang out and watch a little football with me, this evening, your Greenville Liberty will be playing at home for the very first time. And I'm quite excited about that. If you are interested in watching the Greenville Liberty, I have good news for you. A, I will be on the call this evening. My voice will be the voice you hear doing play-by-play when the Greenville Liberty take on, oh goodness, I just forgot, I just blanked it. We got North Carolina. That's going to be tonight. Dig it. I'm going to be on the call this evening. You can get it. You can watch it at 11sports.com. 11sports.com. You go there, search Greenville Liberty. It'll bring it up for you. Really, really excited about that. 11sports.com. Going to be taking on the NC Courage tonight. I will be on play-by-play. And that's the word 11, by the way. 11sports.com. Go there, watch the Liberty, or do one better and just come out to Legacy Early College tonight. Come out to Legacy Early College tonight. Come watch some women's football. Let's support women's professional sports in our area together because the sports community is better when everybody gets a shot at playing. So come on out. But if you can't, watch it on 11sports.com. I'll be on the call, and I promise you I will be really good. Really good. All right, PGA Championship is trending right now. Round number two is on as we speak. On Monday, we'll have a full breakdown. John Cena is trending? Why is John Cena trending? John Cena trending. Because John Cena apparently showed up at the Chelsea game. That is correct, my friends. Chelsea, their soon-to-be new owner, Todd Boehly, was spotted at Stamford Bridge, and he was joined by, that's right, John Cena, ladies and gentlemen. You can see him on TV at the Chelsea game. How about that? John Cena action. You'd love to see it. All right, that's it for me. You guys have a great weekend. Do not drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. Come watch some Liberty football tonight. We'll have a breakdown on Monday of that and the PGA Championship. We will be, I'm pretty sure, one game away from the end of both the Eastern and Western Conference Finals in the NBA. We'll break all that down. Have a great weekend. See you then. I'm Rob Brown. This is the Rob Brown Show. This is the Fan Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.